Today, would refinancing mortgages to fixed 30-year loans help Australians? Hello again, SMR North from Digital Finance Analytics, well, that is post covering finance and property news. Today, I want to look at the question of refinancing after the RBA rate cut and whether a long-term fixed rate mortgage in Australia would be a good idea. While the big four banks have committed to passing on the full 0.25 percentage point RBA-driven rate cut to their customers, meaning those on variable rates will have their interest rates reduced by that amount in the next few months, if your mortgage rate is currently in the high 6s or 7%, then you should definitely look and see if you can get a better rate following the RBA's cut on Tuesday. Actually, there's been a flurry of articles on mortgage refinancing. For example, a recent SBS article said that many Australian mortgage holders are looking to make the most of the improved borrowing conditions, with financial comparison site Mozo tipping a refinancing frenzy, as almost half of all Australian mortgage holders consider refinancing. That's according to a Mozo survey of more than 1,000 respondents. They found 49% were considering or planning to refinance their home loans in the wake of the cut. While some borrowers are ready to act, others are choosing to stay put, possibly waiting for more clarity on future rate movements, Mozo said. But whether you're looking to refinance now or down the track, it's crucial to shop around, compare rates, and check if your bank is passing on this RBA cut in full. Financial comparison site Canstar said that when there's a rate change, people re-engage with what their interest rate might be, and some people are prompted to look around and see if there's more competitive rates out there. For an average owner-occupier with a $600,000 loan, Tuesday's cut translates to a $92 reduction in their minimum monthly repayments. The majority of Australians with mortgages have their rates set to variable, with only about 2% having fixed rates. And if you're on a fixed rate, generally, you probably won't refinance, because if you do, you'll break your fixed rate and you could be up for break fees. The fees will depend on what variable rates are doing and how much of a financial impact that lender has from your breaking that contract. But be warned, while it may be an interest rate cut that has prompted many to reconsider their current lender, there are other costs associated with loans outside of the interest rate offered. Those include discharge fees, state government fees, upfront fees, and ongoing account fees. Typically, the lender the person moves their loan away from usually charges a discharge fee of around $350. And while state government fees vary, it usually costs about another $300. That said, there are lenders who don't charge any upfront fees, and it's always worth looking or asking a new lender if they're willing to waive fees. Also, potential lenders may suggest a new loan term of 25 or 30 years, despite a person having a shorter term left on their current mortgage. This can prove costly, but whilst it may help ease repayments in the present day, you'll end up paying a lot more interest if you continuously stretch that loan back to 30 years. So if you want to aggressively pay down your loan, it's best to reduce the loan term as you refinance. It's also worth noting that lower loan-to-value ratio mortgages have more attractive rates compared with others. And at the same time, those with loans at more than 80% of the value of their property would likely have to pay thousands in lenders' mortgage insurance to refinance, which could outweigh any potential savings. And of course, in some parts of the country, property prices are sliding at the moment. All up, it's important to understand exactly how much you might save from refinancing over a specific time frame, let's say 2 years, or whatever the case may be until your next refinance. And then factor in the fees and the costs of refinancing and weigh up whether it's worth haggling with your bank. It's worth getting yourself a comparative quote from different lenders so that you can show your bank that you're serious about refinancing if they're not willing to give you a further rate cut. But unfortunately, from my surveys, we know that there are some mortgagees who are unable to refinance with other lenders as they're mortgage prisoners. When you seek to refinance, the bank has to put you through all the stress tests that they would apply as a new lender. We know some people overstretched themselves and took on more debt than they perhaps could handle compared to their incomes, and now they're under pressure, a significant amount of pressure in the higher rate environment. These prisoners are finding it difficult to refinance because they can't pass those stress tests, even if they're applying for a rate cut now. Beyond that, there is a fundamental difference between the mortgage market in the US and Australia. A 30-year fixed mortgage is the dominant product in the US. They account for about 70% of outstanding mortgages. But in Australia, the bulk of loans are variable rate loans, which move in line with market rates and indirectly the RBA cash rate, together with short-term fixed rates, which are again priced off the yield curve. In a rising rate environment, more people go fixed for a period. In a falling market, people go variable to ride the market down. Fixed rates tend to be higher because the lender or investor who owns the loans bears all of the interest rate risk, whereas with an adjustable rate, the borrower is shouldering the bulk of the interest rate risk. Now, we know from recent bank results that bank margins in Australia are getting tighter, though they're still more profitable than in many other countries. It's worth noting that mortgages are being offered over periods above 25 or even 30 years as affordability continues to be squeezed by high home prices relative to flat incomes. Though in fact, the average real-life duration of a mortgage in Australia is on average closer to 7 years as people refinance or upsize or downsize. The bulk of lending is being done by the banks, a small proportion directly from the financial markets via securitization or other means. The net effect is households are in hock for longer, with a greater share of their disposable income going to the banks, who in turn continue to grow their profits and return that to their investors. In the US, government-backed institutions like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac provide liquidity to banks so they can sell 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. As a result, banks in America are actually able to offer riskier loans because of the existence of these so-called government-sponsored enterprises, the GSEs, like Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, that operate in the secondary mortgage market. These GSEs purchase mortgages from lenders, taking on the associated risk, and in turn then pool mortgages together to sell on investment markets as mortgage-backed securities. In the US, 30-year fixed-rate mortgages are non-recourse loans where homeowners can and do refinance as interest rates decline. Traditionally, the margin on US mortgages has been narrower than Australia, but the fixed rate structure means householders are less directly impacted by interest rate changes. That said, this structure can have unintended consequences because vast numbers of Americans refinanced when rates plummeted during the pandemic. They are effectively locked into their current property, as moving would mean taking out a new mortgage at a much higher rate. So I was interested to see this past week, BlackRock Chief Executive Larry Fink suggested Australia should introduce 30-year fixed mortgages. The Chief Executive of the $18 trillion investment giant BlackRock said, "We believe Australia should be building a 30-year fixed rate mortgage market," in an interview reported in the AFR. He suggested that one problem in Australia is that the banking system is much larger than the capital markets. The creation of a market to support 30-year fixed-rate mortgages, as are common in the US, would help grow the Australian capital market, which is currently much smaller than the banking sector in Australia. He said that the current variable rate approach in Australia, favoured by Australian banks and borrowers, could weigh on growth. When you're worried about high rising interest rates, what do? You don't consume as much. It drags down the economy, Fink said. One of the greatest foundations of the US is that more Americans invest in equities than any place in the world. Why? They have more confidence. They're more hopeful. But another foundation is they don't have to worry about the ups and downs of their mortgage payments. Fink, who was a pioneer of the mortgage-backed securities market during the 1980s, said Australia is uniquely positioned to pursue such a development because of the size of its $4 trillion superannuation pool. In Australia, the long investment horizons of the super funds means they're perfectly placed to support such a market, Fink says. Australia has a perfect opportunity right now with all the long-term savings in the superannuation system. What would be better than to create a 30-year mortgage market here that gives more confidence to the Australian consumer? Because when they own a home, they know for the life of that ownership that at the time they're in the home, their payments are fixed. There's a lot of pressure on the supers to invest more back in Australia. What better way than to invest by building out a mortgage market, he said. Clearly, the idea is the one that would require support from governments, regulators, the banks, and the Reserve Bank, for whom the dominance of variable rate mortgages provides a crucial tool for the transmission of monetary policy. However, it's also worth noting that Fink, who says he has not discussed the idea with superannuation sector leaders, isn't just speaking from altruism. Last October, BlackRock was charged by the government of Saudi Arabia to create a mortgage-backed securities market to support the kingdom's goal of lifting home ownership rates and diversifying its economy. Fink sees the opportunity the same here. We believe this is going to be an opportunity where BlackRock could help in Australia. So it seems to me that engineering long-term fixed rates in Australia may sound attractive to the big investment houses, the banks, and even the government, but I'm not convinced it's good for ordinary Australians. And it's worth remembering that through the GFC, US mortgage borrowers defaulted in droves due to rate resets from low teaser rates, allowing those same investment houses to subsequently hoover up stressed property for a song. So they're on the side of investors, not prospective home buyers. So don't be fooled. 30-year fixed rates are a bit of a potential scam. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.